Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. I'll be reading verse 9. Matthew chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." I want to talk this morning about a conversation you have with yourself that could cost you your soul. You might talk yourself right out of salvation. You might have a conversation with yourself in which you are your own worst enemy. You might cause some kind of an obstacle from you receiving what God has for you. So, consider it, because this is John the Baptist, and he is sort of heading them off at the pass. He sees these Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, and he says, "You generation of vipers." Well, we could use a few more plain-spoken preachers nowadays. Somebody who just tell the truth, tells what it like, and not worry about whether people are going to like you or not. And you know, the truth is, John the Baptist wasn't really worried about whether you liked him or not. He was a whole lot more worried about whether God liked him or not. And so he was just telling the truth. He sees these Pharisees and Sadducees and says, "What do you think you're doing? You come out here and you don't mean business with God. Who knows what you're here for? What in the world are you doing here? Who warned you about the wrath to come? Are you really heartbroken? Are you really broken? Are you serious about finding God and serving God? What's with you?" He says, "I want you to repent and to bring forth fruits meet for repentance." And then he says, "Watch out though. Because that little voice inside you might tell you something that will hinder you. Gonna cause you a problem." And I got to thinking, we have that going on right now amongst us.
Yes.
People hear God's word, people hear the message, people hear the truth, people hear the Bible, people hear the gospel, people hear God's call, but a little voice in there says, "Oh no, 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 that's just a little too fanatical, it's a little bit too much."
Amen.
All right, let's think this over. John the Baptist was talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is what most of us would call nowadays the millennial reign, the reign of 1,000 years. When he talks about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about promises in the Old Testament that God was going to come and reign, and the kingdom of heaven was going to last forever. It was never going to have a problem. It was never going to have a time limit. Fecha de caducidad. No expiration date. Thank you. He wasn't going to have a time where he was going to be out and be done, to forget it, or somebody else going to take over. No, all the other empires of the world were going to be, but this fifth kingdom that Daniel prophesied was not going to stop. It's the kingdom of heaven, because the king of heaven is going to rule on earth. Now that was the promise. And this promise is made over and over and over in the Old Testament. Anybody who tells you that that's all done and passed, it's not going to happen, that was all taken away, they're wrong. The Bible makes it clear that is going to happen. And when John the Baptist came preaching, he came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning all those promises are right here close. It's right here within our grasp. Wow. What do you think? What do you think? What does God want then? What is the deal? What is the demand? What does he say? The kingdom of heaven is at hand, so be happy. Rejoice, throw a party. Ah, what's the deal? What does God want? What does he demand? He says, repent.
Amen.
Now I give thanks for every single preacher on all the earth that today, this morning, is using that word, repent.
Amen.
But there's an awful lot of preachers who never use it. And they're doing a great disservice to their congregations. Because God says, lift up your voice and tell my people their sin. Let them know what I have against them. Why? Because repentance is the solution. Now you gotta stop and think, folks. Repentance is not automatic. It's not like God owes you a second chance. Huh? You know how many people think God just owes them? I get it all the time in court. They say, well, he deserves a second chance. Let him out. Let him out. He deserves a second chance. And most of the time we'd say, yeah, you know, everybody gets a second. Everybody needs a second chance. But not child rapists.
Right.
I ain't giving them a second chance. No, I'm not inviting them into my home the second time. Huh? Right? So you got sins, you got things that you've done wrong, and God says, repent. Do you realize what a great blessing that is? What a tremendous offer. He says, hey, I'll give you a mulligan. Try again. And you just kind of take it for granted, right? Because then you fail again, so you want a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance, and you just keep on going. And after a while, God gets to thinking, maybe you don't really mean business. Maybe you're not serious. Maybe you're not really trying, huh? Hey, how about you? Why don't you make that judgment on yourself? Maybe you're not really trying. Maybe you're not really serious about this. Maybe you're not really on the right track. Maybe you have just got some kind of a rubbery inside that just can't make a decision and get right with God. That's also possible. Repentance is not automatic. God doesn't owe it to anybody. He doesn't owe anybody a second chance. But he says, repent. So you should take heart. God's saying, hey, I haven't fallen in anger and fire and brimstone yet. You haven't been singed and burned to a crisp yet. I haven't stomped on you like a roach yet. So what's he telling you to do? Hey, repent. What does he mean by repent? Hey, I'm going to give it to you clear and concise. He means change. That's what it means. Change.
Amen.
You happy the way you're going? Everything pretty good? Things are okay? What God says is change. Change your mind. Change your attitude. Change your friends.
Amen.
Change your lifestyle. Change your habits. Change. John the Baptist comes, and we got sort of an equilibrium. I mean, things are going pretty smooth. We got some political stability, you know. You got the Pharisees, and you got the Sadducees, and they pretty much know where they stand. And the Pharisees think the Sadducees need to change, and the Sadducees think the Pharisees need to change, right? You know what God says? I want you both to change.
Yeah.
I want a little change in attitude in all of you. I want something to change in your way of thinking. I want something to change in the pridefulness of your heart. I want some brokenness somewhere. I want something that needs to switch. Wow. All right, I'm going to talk about three things. First of all, the need for change. Second of all, the desire for change, God's and yours. And third of all, the obstacle to change. That's that little voice inside you. Now, let's listen to it. The need to change. You okay? Everybody okay? You know what he said here? King is coming. Make his paths straight. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Let me ask you something. If you knew that Jesus was coming over for dinner, would you take all that old mail off your counter and put it somewhere? Would you sweep up a little bit maybe? Straighten out the drapes? Would you do anything? Are you okay with the way your house is for Jesus to come? How about in your heart and your mind and in your life?
Amen.
If Jesus is coming, would there be something maybe some television show you wouldn't watch?
Amen.
I think that's probably true.
Amen.
I think maybe you'd have a little different attitude if you knew Jesus was coming. So here comes John the Baptist. He says, he's coming. The Christ is coming. It's right here. All the things we've been looking for, they're coming. Oh, I know. They've been saying it for many, many centuries, many, many years. We've been expecting it. We even had the prophecies of Daniel. We can actually count out the date. We're the generation. We're the one. But now he's coming. Hey, wake up. He's coming. What are you going to do?
Amen.
What are you going to do? You think you might need to change something?
Amen.
Something needs to move. Something needs to be washed. Something needs to be cleaned out of the way. Something needs to be straightened up. Maybe make your bed. I think so. Is your nation okay? Is your country okay? We ready for him? America gonna survive that? Is America going to be all right? I mean, we're the best nation on earth, right? Are we the most righteous nation on earth? Are we okay? We ready for God to come and do His judgment? Let Him look at us with His eyes of fire. See right through all of our hypocrisy. See right through all of that junk. Is our nation okay? Or is our nation in dire need of change?
Amen.
Is our nation in dire need of repentance?
Amen.
How about your society right around you? How about your culture? How about the place you work? Is the place you work okay? Everything okay there? All the people there are ready for God? Ready for the Lord to come? There's not a whole lot that He's going to have to do. Nothing that He's going to have to... No, I mean, nobody needs to really straighten anything up. Nobody needs to get that stuff out of their mind.
Amen.
The curses out of their mouth.
Amen.
You know why you curse with your mouth? Because you got curses inside.
Amen.
It's not me. I didn't make that up. Jesus said that. He says what comes out of the mouth is what defiles a man. Because it comes from the heart. And that's what Solomon said too. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what you are. So you curse with your mouth? Yeah.
Amen.
Your church okay? Nothing needs to be changed here? Your nation's not okay. You already said that. Your nation's not fine. How about your church? Nothing needs to be changed in church? We're all okay, right? Because we're the best church. We're the best one. Obviously, we're the best one. You're here. Surely, if there was a better one, you'd be there, right? Your church don't need to be changed? Huh? There's nothing in amongst you that needs to be changed. Maybe some attitude toward each other. Maybe some lukewarmness.
Amen.
Did y'all hear your singing this morning?
Amen.
I guess you didn't hear it. It's pretty hard to hear. Hey, lukewarmness? Nothing needs to be changed? Jesus is coming? Nothing needs to be changed? We don't need to change anything. We're fine. We're okay. We're doing pretty good. We're God's favorites. How about you? You personally, not your wife, not your kids, you.
Amen.
Something you need to change. You know what I think? I think every single one of us needs to change.
Yes. Amen.
Every one of us need.
Amen.
I don't think it's just a real opportunity. It is an opportunity, but I don't think that's what the most important thing here is. I think it's an urgency. That we need to change our attitude, our lifestyle, our ruts that we're in, our comfort level, our way of being, our way of thinking, our way.
Amen.
Our life. We need to change. Something's got to change. That's why He says Jesus is coming. You want to be around Him? You want to have some of His blessings? You want something from Him? You pray to God. You want something from Him? You raise up your hand. I got an unspoken request. I need something from God. And God's saying, I need something from you. You know what He said? Draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Something's got to move. Something's got to change. And if you're not willing to change anything, you're in trouble.
That's right.
All the fornication in this sorry generation. We're talking about sickos.
Yes.
That sitcom you watched last night? Full of fornication. Full of fornication. Covetousness? You ever seen a more materialistic society? More involved in things and wanting stuff and just being satisfied with junk, and as long as they got a job and everything's coming in, money's pouring in, economy's great, everything's fine, everything's great, no need to change, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. That's the attitude. I sit a queen, I shall know no sorrow. Wow. Nothing you need to change? Your entertainment, your lies, your curses, the apathy. You're not apathetic? About all the rapes that are happening? Daily. Some woman taken and gone. She's gone. What happened to her? She was raped. Then she was strangled. She was left in a vacant lot somewhere. And sometimes it's little girls. Sometimes it's little boys. They're evil. It's all over the place. And yet, you're okay. Well, we're okay. Everything's okay. Wasn't my daughter. The abortions? Daily, right here in this town. You think those little kids don't cry? No, they don't feel anything, right? They're killing them at 8 months pregnant. Killing them. They're scraping them out, dismembering them, sucking them out. Maybe not here, but some places they sell them for dog food. Oh, does that bother you? You think maybe something needs to change? You think maybe something, maybe we have something to do? Maybe there's something we need to get a little bit more excited about? Well, I think so. Huh? How about the divorces? Oh. Don't tell us, don't talk about that. Some divorces are right. That's true. Some of them are right. Most of them aren't. But some of them are right. You don't think it matters to God that your kids are raised by some other man? Wow. No natural affection? What about idolatry? You know, I was listening to the Sunday school lesson last week, talking about the end of that chapter 9, where it says God sends all these plagues and all these things, and he says what he's wanting to do is to get men to repent of their idolatry. Amen. This is the future. Did you realize that God has something against us right now? Our idolatry. Amen. You think praying to Mary is okay? You think this saint worship is all right? You think all those Indian gods are okay? You think it's just, everybody's got their own way of being. Everybody, you know, it's all over. It's rampant. It's all over the world. And it ain't just Catholics. It's Protestants too.
Amen.
Boy, it's a shame. It's a shame that Muslims have more conviction against idolatry than Protestants. You ought to be ashamed. Nothing to change? You're okay. Right. Pat yourself on the back. You're all right. You got no reason to change. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. That's right out of the Bible, 2 Corinthians 7. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holiness and godly conversation? Right there in the Bible. We're going to be like him, he says. And if we know this, he says we know we're going to be like him. Every man that knoweth this, everyone that hath this hope in him, purifies himself.
Amen.
From all his filthiness. You don't need to change anything if God's coming. You say, well, we want revival. Don't we want revival? I want revival. I want revival. What do you think it's going to take? You think God needs to change? Maybe we just need to talk God into getting off of his lazy bed. Maybe his arm is short. Maybe his ear is heavy. Maybe we've done everything right and he's just been long... What do you call it? Not hearing, not paying attention, not attentive to our cry. No, I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is that we are just too comfortable and we aren't going to change.
Amen.
I got my way. I know I'm right. I'm okay. There's nothing that moves me. Nothing that touches me. Nothing that stirs me. I'm okay. You know what I think? I think we got needs. I think we have a serious, genuine, urgent need of changing our minds.
Amen.
Yes. You know what John the Baptist was expecting right here? He wanted somebody to come out of the hall, walk the sawdust trail, and get baptized. Now, baptism won't save you. It's just water. But let me tell you something. There's an awful lot of people who won't get out and walk and get down there and get right with God and start meaning business with God. They will not do it. And they don't get saved. Because they're just not going to move. They're not going to stir themselves. Wake up, people. All right, that's the need. There is a need. You don't think when John the Baptist came, Zacchaeus had a need?
Yes, he did.
Oh, Zacchaeus had a need. He didn't know it. He thought he had. No, he was in good shape. He was in good shape, right? I mean, he had a good job. Good job. Yeah, some people didn't like him much, but boy, he laughed all the way to the bank. Yeah? You think Mary Magdalene had a need? You think Saul of Tarsus had a need? Oh yeah, they had needs. So do you.
Amen.
That's the need. How about the desire? Has it crossed your mind that what God wants out of you is change?
Yes, amen.
Don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. We're comfortable.
Amen.
Things are smooth. Pharisees are Pharisees. Sadducees are Sadducees. A little bickering, that's fine. It's okay. We're not open up in war. We're okay. Things are fine. A little bit of prosperity. We're okay. I'm okay. Got myself a little house. Got myself a little car. I'm doing all right, huh? Everything fine? You're healthy? No need. No. Let's not. Did you realize that God says, hey, you know what I'm looking for from you? Don't say it again, preacher. Don't say it again. Change. God wants some movement. It wouldn't bother God at all if you'd raise your hand when you praise Him. It wouldn't bother God at all if you'd cry a little bit when you weep in front of Him. It wouldn't bother God at all if you stirred your heart somewhat. It wouldn't even bother God at all if you sat somewhere else. Oh, you're picking on us. You're picking on us, right? God wants change, don't you?
Amen.
You like this lifeless routine you're living? That okay with you? We got it made, man. Get home from work, watch Wheel of Fortune. Life is good. Lifeless routine. Powerless life. No power in your prayers.
Right.
No people being saved.
Right.
No movement in the church.
Right.
Yeah. Don't you want some change? Empty prayers?
Yes.
You feel them. You pray them and they're just empty. Amen. Just empty. Coming out of a wecko interior.
Right. Amen.
Half-hearted worship.
Yeah. Amen.
You've heard it. You've felt it. You've done it. You've participated. You're the culprit. Half-hearted worship. Nothing real. Nothing serious. No public displays of affection. Yeah. Absolutely helpless to save your children from a world that is going to swallow them up.
That's right.
I'm talking about your kids.
Yes.
Your little ones right there. And you're helpless. And you know it. You know you cannot convince them. You know you cannot save them. You cannot protect them. You cannot even encourage them. You cannot even help them to overcome. It's way beyond you and you know it. You are helpless. You don't think you want to change? I think you want it. Maybe you don't even realize how bad you want it. But you want the change too.
Amen.
You would like to be able to help your children overcome this evil present world. An unconvincing witness, right? Yeah, because when you talk to people about the Lord, they're just not really impressed. Why? Because you're just about like them. In fact, they think they got more going on than you do. And they probably do, by the way. How about your worthless objectives? What are your objectives? Come on, list them out there. What are your ambitions in life? What are you trying to accomplish? Worthless. That's what affected me the most when I was a young person. All of my objectives were worthless. When my grandpa died, I realized all that he had was gone, lost, disappeared. And I realized everything I wanted in life was worthless the day I died. Even such high-minded things as a cure for cancer and world peace. Go ahead, be high-minded. Think high. Oh, yeah, wonderful thoughts. Worthless. Worthless objectives because they don't last past the grave. They don't mean anything in spiritual truth. Have no value whatsoever. Are you telling me you don't desire the change? You don't desire something from God? You don't desire to have something mean something? Have something last? Have something go on forever? You don't want anything that you can lay your hands on and say, I've laid hold on eternal life. Something that I got that they can't never take away from me. What do you got? What are you hanging on to that nobody can take away from you? You want the change. God wants the change.
Amen.
But there's an obstacle. Now, don't get me wrong. There's lots of obstacles. You see, because a Catholic will have a priest that'll say, oh, these images, that's not what the Bible's talking about when he says, don't make unto thee any graven image. It's not talking about that. And the priest will convince them that, no, it's okay. Your little image of Mary hanging around your neck, that's all right. That one's okay. Somebody's always going to try to talk people out of God's word, God's speaking. And it doesn't cross their mind because the priest, he seems holy. He wears a collar. He is very holy. And because he's so holy, they don't even have to think about what God said a second time. Not even one other time do they have to think about it because the priest said it's okay. It's okay to pray to Mary, right? Well, because she's interceding for us. And we know she's in heaven. We know that. And because she's in heaven, she can talk to God directly. And so we can just talk to her. I mean, of course, you could talk to God directly, but you're a wicked sinner, and she understands things better than he does. Oh, yeah. All kinds of people will explain away God's call. When God tells you, this is what I want you to do. Somebody will tell you, that's not necessary. Even Eve had a yea hath God said serpent there saying, it's going to be all right. You're not going to die. Don't you worry about it. Everybody's got somebody that's an enemy of the gospel in their mind. Absalom had Jonadab. Oh, Jonadab says, you want this girl? That's good. I'll give you an idea. I'll give you some plans. That's what you need. Another friend like Jonadab. Cost Absalom his life eventually. Yeah. Jehovah's Witnesses? Oh, yeah, they got scholars. They tell you, you can't trust that old Bible. Devil had his part in it. And what happens when you lose your trust in the Bible? You can't be helped. I've proven that over and over and over again. I will point out to them, hey, the old Bible says this, your Bible says this. What's the problem? Well, the old Bible's got the devil part in it. You know, the devil had his way. Had some things changed. You can't trust the old Bible. So now what you're trusting? You're trusting some 144,000 people up there in New York. Well, there's only two or three of them still alive. But they're up there in New York. They're telling us what's true and what's not. You lost it. There's always an enemy of the gospel. There's always somebody there to tell you, now, don't worry about that. Amen. There's always somebody there to smirk and snicker and scorn. Yeah, there's always somebody that looks down on you for your simplistic faith.
Yep.
Say, nah, you just believe the Bible. What are you talking about? That's not... Oh, yeah, there's always a university professor there that will say, how could that many animals get into a boat that small? They're always there. But that ain't your biggest problem. The biggest problem is what you tell yourself.
Amen.
It's in your own mind. Because you always find a way to weasel out of what God's demanding from you.
Yeah, amen.
You got a backbone made out of rubber. It's hard to pin you down. Hard to get you to focus. You know, there's all kinds of distractions, right? All kinds of distractions. God says, I want this. And you say, oh, yeah. Who's playing today? I don't even know. Who's playing today? I guess football players, really good ones. That's really important. Right? Yeah, I know some of you don't like sports. That's okay. You got your distractions, too. How big was it? How fast does it drive? Yeah. We all got our distractions, right? Something's in the way. God says, move. Do something. Change. Get real. Get serious. Start meaning business. And you say, oh, I got this thing to do here first. I got this. One of the things that you say in your mind is, there's no rush. Let's not get in a rush. Let's think it over. Maybe next week.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow. Don't want to be fanatical. Don't want to overdo it. I've done that before. I've been fanatical and overdid it. Amazing how God blessed you when you were fanatical. Yeah. I think about the story Roland tells when Brent showed up to visit him, and he was ready to hear the gospel, and Brent's trying to explain the gospel. He opens up the Bible, and the phone rings. Back in those days, phones had cables. The phone rings. And he reaches over there and grabs the cable and yanks it out of the wall. He says, "That was the devil." Oh, does that seem fanatical to you? No, Roland's saved. Where is he? There's the guy's saved. You know why? He didn't let the devil get in the way. You don't think the phone ringing could be the devil? Sometimes your phone is ringing, and it's the devil. Sometimes your mind is ringing. Sometimes your mind plays tricks on you and says and gives you this self-deceit. What did the Pharisees say? Well, we have Abraham to our father. You talk about presumptuous.
Yes, right.
You think God needs you? Really? Man, it's amazing that God even puts up with you.
Right.
That's amazing. They have a false sense of security. Isn't that amazing how people have a false sense of security? They think they're okay. Why? There's something that... I've known people that know that just because they were born into the Roman Catholic Church and were baptized as children, they're okay. They're going to split hell wide open. And the reason why is because they thought they were okay. So you were baptized when you were a baby. What does that mean? Nothing. I used to do this in Mexico, be preaching out on the streets. They'd talk about their baptism, and I'd say, everybody uses keys. You know why? They're afraid of baptized people.
Amen.
Baptism doesn't mean anything. You're not okay with God because you're baptized when you were a baby. God wants you to move. He wants you to change. He wants you to wake up. He wants you to get serious and mean business. And you won't. Why? You lie to yourself. You got this false sense of security. We got Abraham to our father. We're okay. We're Americans. We're intelligent. We're decent people. We're not mean to our neighbors. My goodness. Some people will say, I was preaching downtown just recently at the bus stop, and I was trying to say, I was preaching on this same passage, God says to repent. And the guy says, yeah, God is forgiving. Boy, he is absolutely convinced that he's okay. Why? Because God is forgiving. They have this imagination of God like some kind of a extremely fond grandfather. And they have an imagination of themselves like some really cute puppy. And they think God just likes squeezing it. No, God's not terribly fond of you. God showed his love for you on the cross.
Amen.
You have some serious, real love. It's not love that can be compared to any other kind of love you've ever known. When God was willing to sacrifice Jesus Christ, the one person that pleased him, to sacrifice him for sinners. For wicked sinners, people like you. And you're all satisfied because God's just a forgiving kind of a person. He's sort of tolerant. You think God has that apathetic attitude toward homosexuality that you do because you watch sitcoms too much?
Yeah, amen.
Oh, they're kind of cute. You've lost your disgust? Really?
Yeah.
You can't even be shocked by what you see on the news.
That's right.
Godless, useless news. Oh, some people talk to themselves and they say, yeah, I knew this sorry Christian. Yeah, you can talk yourself out of obeying God because you knew a sorry Christian. I got news for you. I know a lot of sorry Christians. You can't blame God for sorry Christians.
Amen.
The real question is, have you ever known a real one?
That's right.
A real Christian. Someone that walked the walk. Well, see here, the Pharisees, they got John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist wasn't all that spectacular. He never did any miracles. He didn't do a dog and pony show. He didn't do the speaking in tongues thing. He didn't do any raising of the dead stuff. He didn't play with serpents. All he did was preach. And what he preached was pretty negative. Repent.
Yes.
Stop it! No, that's what he was saying, folks. He was saying, stop it. When he said repent, he was saying, stop it. Stop your lying. Stop your drinking. Stop your fornicating. Stop your sick entertainment. Stop it. Stop your idolatry. Stop it. Turn around. Change your mind. Turn around to God. He says change. Move. Step up and mean business with God. Get out of your comfortable chair and walk down into the water and get yourself baptized and come out different.
Amen.
That's what he's trying to say. But they had John the Baptist. Are they going to complain about sorry Christians when they have John the Baptist preaching to them? Oh no, you got an excuse because you just got these ugly, obnoxious people preaching to you. But they had John the Baptist. There's a whole lot of people out there that had some really good preachers telling them the truth, but they had this thought in their mind. Oh, but there's a bunch of sorry Christians. They got this soft thought in their mind. I've known some hypocrites. I don't like people in church because they're hypocrites. Yeah, they are. That's true. I should say we are. We're pretty sorry people. But that doesn't change God. God's still the same extremely Amen. Tremendous intellect and loving Father God that He's given us so much. How can you blame Him for sorry Christians? You're going to talk yourself out of doing God's will? Oh, you know, some of them say, I just can't. That's okay for other people, but I just can't. God's demanding something from you that you can't. Really. I mean, other people can, but you can't? What a pitiful lack of self-esteem. If God wants something out of you, you can. God wants you to change up the way you act, you can do it. God wants you to change the way you think, you can do it.
Amen.
Why? Because God says, do it! Because if you don't, I'm gonna come in judgment. You telling me you don't have the need? No, you have the need. You telling me you don't have the desire? No, you have the desire. So now, what is this conversation you're having within yourself saying, I just can't. It's just too much for me. You fanatical types, y'all can handle that. Most of us, we're sort of, you know, mediocre kinds, and we can't do that. Yeah, you can. You can obey God. You can just say, God, I mean business with you. I'm serious. I'm dead serious about this. I want to be right with you. I'll give it up. What is it, Lord? What is it? What's on your mind? What are you thinking? I'll give it up. There's nothing I love more than you. There's nothing I want more than you. There is nothing on this earth that I want more than you. You can't do that? You can't say that to God? Because that's what He wants. He wants you to get up and move. He wants you to make the change. He wants you to change your attitude. He wants you to change your friends. He wants you to change your lifestyle. He wants you to change your prideful self-image.
Amen.
He wants you to change. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to talk yourself out of it, aren't you? Why would you do that?
Amen. Right.
Why would you do that? Let's pray. Lord, we're not right. Lord, we're not right. We need to move, Lord. We need to get real. We need to get serious. We need to mean business, Lord. Somebody here, Lord, doesn't know you as Savior. Call them, God. Talk to them. Get deep into their mind and heart. Don't let them go. Lord, Christians here they're too comfortable, Lord. Too satisfied. We just have so much that we like the way things are going. And no, Lord, it's not good enough. Lord, we want to be right with you. We want to be on fire for you, Lord. God, don't let us fool ourselves. Don't let us deceive ourselves. Get us right, Lord. Change us. Move us. Make us real. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.